And welcome to another episode of Plants and Cats. I'm your host, Erica Broom, and today's episode is quite a fun one, and I can't wait to dive right in. First of all, obviously, I've got to tell y'all what I've been up to. Yesterday and this morning, I planted some tomato seeds, so that's where we're at with my garden right now. I've got Brussels sprouts seeds started. I think we started those over the weekend. Tomato seeds are sprouting. Tomatoes are going. Tomatoes are planted. Bell peppers, and I've got some habanero, jalapeno, and cayenne peppers all sprouting. I repotted some the other day. Very exciting stuff. But that's not why you guys are here. You guys want to hear about today's topic, which is my first psilocybin trip. Woo! This isn't the first time that I have talked about psilocybin on this podcast, and I did talk a little bit about my microdosing experience, and that was episode 20. So if you want to hear a little bit more about microdosing, you can head back to that episode and give that a listen. But honestly, like before I actually get into the topic, I just wanted to address something about the topic of today's topic, I guess. So just this morning, I was having a conversation with Sean, and I was telling him, I was like, oh, I haven't recorded the podcast for this week yet. And I'm trying to decide on what I want the topic to be. And I'm just sort of waffling about what I think I want to talk about. And he's like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, well, I really want to talk about what happened on Sunday. And he's like, well, maybe you should talk about it. And I was like, well, you know, the thing that's holding me back from doing that is just the thought that nobody wants to hear about that. It's not professional, right? Because I am a business. I own a business. Like, you know, there's this feeling that you have to present yourself in a certain way when you're a business owner. And maybe that's just something I've sort of put on myself. That's probably all it is, if we're being honest here. But I told him, I was like, you know, I feel like as part of this unmasking that I'm going through right now as well, that I need to start like talking more openly about this kind of stuff. This is stuff that is interesting to me. And the whole point of this freaking podcast is to talk about stuff that is interesting to me. So why am I like holding back my own shine from my podcast? This is my podcast, right? So if you don't want to hear about... you don't want to hear about it, you don't have to listen, right? It's as simple as that. Either way, so after this discussion that I had with Sean, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to talk about this because I feel like it's a good way for me to just sort of dip my toes in talking about the things that actually matter to me or the things that actually interest me. Because, you know, there are a lot of things that interest me in this life, but there are a lot of things that I've maybe shown interest in for reasons that weren't, you know, my own interest, right? So I'm not sure what I meant by that or where I'm going with that. But anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, Sean and I were just checking out this little local market. It was like almost like one of those little trade show things. Like it wasn't a farmer's market by any means, but it was like that style of thing, except it wasn't just like veggies and that sort of thing. It's too early in the season for that still. But they had, you know, there was like some makers. They had like, you know, someone with like a cake stand. She had a little table set up with cakes. And there was a lady that had like plant dyed materials and like other like scarves and that kind of thing. It was really cool. And then we round the corner and there was a lady selling psilocybin chocolate. So when we came across this, Sean and I kind of side-eyed each other because we had talked about this a little bit, right? Like I've microdosed before, but I've never actually taken a high enough dose of psilocybin for it to do anything to me, really. Like I didn't trip out or anything like that. I was only using it in the microdosing capsules as a way to sort of bolster my mental health last year, and it really helped me a lot. Like I said, go listen to that episode about that if you'd like to hear more. I think I said it was episode 20. If it wasn't, well, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. It's My Microdosing Experience is the name of the episode. But I have always been curious, I think, about the positive effects that psilocybin can have on someone. So obviously I had a really good experience with the microdosing capsules, and I was like, well, why not try it again? But this time we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to try to boost that just past the microdosing element of it and just see what happens, because I've heard so much good things about psilocybin. It is a great treatment for like depression. They're doing a lot of research on that. Thankfully, it's starting to, psilocybin's kind of entering that weird gray area that cannabis was a few years ago, if any of you remember that time between when the Canadian government announced that they were going to legalize cannabis for public use and consumption and everything. But when they announced it, it was a few months. Like, I feel like it was 6 months to a year later that it was actually going to be legalized. So in that kind of time, there were a bunch of like dispensaries that were popping up kind of here and there, dealing on the gray market, right? They weren't federally legislated yet, but they were. You could walk in and point to a jar on the wall and be like, I want an ounce of that, whatever. Girl Scout cookies, that's my favorite. I want an ounce of Girl Scout cookies, or I want 3 grams of this Rock Star, or 2 grams of, you, so you could like kind of pick it off the shelf. It was a really cool, really cool time in the gray market, I guess. I miss that. I don't like the amount of waste that cannabis produces, like the packaging these days. Anyway, that's not why we're here. That's not why we're here. As I was saying, psilocybin is in kind of that weird gray area where they haven't legalized it yet. To my knowledge, they haven't officially announced that they're working towards this, but there have been things, kind of rumblings, right, that this is kind of where it's headed. There's been a lot more research these days as well about the positive and medicinal effects and uses of psilocybin, or magic mushrooms, if that's what you're more familiar with calling them. So it can really help a lot with depression, and that is the thing that I have kind of been mostly interested in and focused on. And I think it also, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, listener, but it can really help with like symptoms of PTSD, which is something that I suffer from. So all that being said, we saw these mushroom chocolates at this stand, at this little not farmer's market. And it was a weird moment where we were like, what? And we were very confused. And then we realized, oh, well, maybe just out here, no one really gives a shit about that. I've never heard of that happening in, you know, a bigger center. So maybe we're just getting away with it out here because nobody cares. I don't know. But either way, we bought some of this chocolate, and on Sunday, so a few days ago, today's Thursday, as of when I'm recording this, so Sunday, we decided that, or I decided, if, like, I've been wanting to do this for a few weeks now, it just didn't work out. Obviously, I had to have, like, a clear day, a full day that I can kind of devote to this, so finally, the stars aligned, and on Sunday, I decided that I was like, all right, we're going to do this and we're just going to have a nice chill day and just see what happens. So Sean, the amazing husband and partner that he is, trip sat for me, since this was my first time doing anything more than a microdose. And I went into it knowing that I would be safe and that everything would be okay. But obviously there's that element of like nerves that come with it too, right? Because you're just like, when you're doing something for the first time ever, there's that sense of like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And so for me, that causes a lot of anxiety usually. But I was able to kind of quell that a little bit. And so the morning at 11 o'clock, I took, I think it was 2 pieces of this chocolate. The woman at the stand, she's like, you know, if it's your first time, start with 1 or 2, see how you feel, and then take more if you want. And so I was like, all right, I'll start with 2. That sounds like a good amount. She's like, 1 is probably like a microdose. I was like, okay, well, I know what that's like. I'll do double what I would normally do. So I took the chocolate and we immediately went outside with Aldous and Ember on their harnesses and just kind of waited for it to start working. Because, right, it takes a while for it to start taking an effect in your system. So took Ember outside and just kind of wandered around the yard for a while. And I would say probably about 45 minutes later, Ember was like looking at something on the ground. I looked up at the trees in the distance and I noticed that they were looking just like a little bit wavy. It was like, and I knew what to expect, right? Cause I'd done a little bit of research. I'd talked to Sean at length about this, about kind of what to expect, in order to sort of quell my own anxieties about it. And so I looked at the trees and I was like, oh, I think this is kicking in. And that's why I was standing there staring at these trees for a solid minute probably, and out of the corner of my eye I just see Sean grinning at me because he's like, oh yeah, she's feeling it. So either way, that's kind of how it started for me. So if you've never if you've never taken psilocybin and you're kind of considering it, this is kind of what I wanted to sort of talk through, is my experience with this, so that if you're considering it, you're like, oh, okay, maybe this isn't going to be such a bad time after all, or something I don't have to be really scared of, because now you know what to expect, right? So Sean had gone around the other side of the house and he called out to me. He's like, well, he'd taken Aldous inside and he called out to me. He's like, oh, babe, there's the crocuses. There's bees in the crocuses. P.S. We have crocuses in our freaking yard. That's what I forgot to tell y'all at the start of the episode. There are crocuses lining the path to my office. I fucking love crocuses. I think they're so beautiful. I've only ever seen them in person one other time in my life. So to have them lining the path to my office where I am currently recording this podcast, mind-boggling. It makes me so happy. They're so pretty. So anyway, the bees have been going ham on these crocuses. So I was like, oh, well, I have Ember and I don't think she wants to go over there. So Sean came and took Ember from me. And I came around the side of the house and saw these bees in the crocus. And so there was a patch of crocus. There was probably about, I want to say 6 or 7 flowers kind of all in a bunch. And so I crouched down and I was just staring at these bees. And when I tell you it is the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my life, I would not be lying. It was like, obviously I've seen bees before, I've seen crocus before, but this time it just felt a little different. It felt like I wasn't just observing, like I was a part of the experience. I don't know how to explain it, but I wasn't just watching, I was like a part of it. And so I sat there, I crouched down, and like after about 10 minutes of crouching down, I was like, oh my god, my ankles can't take this anymore. I'm getting too old for this shit. So I grabbed the mat off of my porch on my office and sat down on that. Sean went inside and grabbed me a little blanket to sit on top of that. And so I got comfortable and I sat there. So I sat there for at least an hour just watching these bees, and they were just like buzzing around and getting into the flower, and just there were two that just like kept fighting over this one. They kept kicking each other out of the flower, and then there was one flower that hadn't opened yet, and like one of the bees just like forced his way in there. And it was just such a different experience than what I have ever experienced before. I explained to Sean, I was like, you know, this feels like when Bella Swan gets turned into a vampire for the first time in Twilight, or whatever the last movie is. Breaking Dawn? Is that the last one? Eclipse? Whatever. Sean's going to yell at me when he hears this. You should know. So it feels like when Bella Swan gets turned into a vampire and she wakes up for the first time and she looks around her surroundings and just notices all of the little details. Like she sees like the dust floating through the air, or she sees like the wings on the fly flying by, or that's what it felt like to me. Like it felt like obviously my vision wasn't zooming in, but it felt like it was zooming in the sense that I could only see the one detail that I was looking at, like that I was observing. So for example, I got really focused on the wings on the bee, the way that the iridescent like wings just kind of like reflected the sunlight, and it was just so beautiful. And I was just sitting there just in awe of the nature that was happening in front of me, literally in my own backyard. Like I think that's the part of it too for me that really kind of just sucked me in. I'm just like, wow, like I'm literally sitting outside of my house right now. I've been living in apartment buildings for 6 or 7 years before this point, before we moved out here, and I haven't had a yard. And so just to have the space to kind of relax and just observe nature in its own purest form was just amazing. And I know that I'm sounding like a mushhead. The next day, Sean was like, oh, my mushy wife. I'm just like, yeah. I'm a little bit of a mush head now, apparently, after doing psilocybin one time. So. But yeah, so sat there, watched the bees for a while, for an hour at least. And then, like, it's still early spring here, right? It's March 23rd right now, whatever day, how many days ago? I think it was like the 19th on Sunday. It's still pretty cold on the ground. Like, the sun was shining. It was, oh my God, it was like a beautiful day. The perfect day to do mushrooms. So with it being only the 19th of March, the ground was still pretty cold. So after an hour of sitting there watching the bees pollinate the crocus, I was like, I think I actually need to go inside. Like, I'm getting kind of cold. So we packed up everything, headed inside, and sat down just to warm up. Like, I wanted to spend most of the day outside, but I just wanted to warm up inside a little bit. Sitting on the cold ground apparently will make you cold. Who knew? So anyway, Sean pulled a bunch of books off of our bookshelf he's like, you know, these are the types of things that I like to look at when I'm on mushrooms. So he pulled like the stack of just like photo books, and we had this one book. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's a book all about cats. Like, there's a bunch of different photos and like write-ups of different breeds and everything like that. So I sat there and just kind of like looked through all the cat pictures. I would say that I didn't take enough psilocybin that morning to actually trip, which I think the way that my trip went on Sunday was honestly perfect for the first time that I'd ever done them, because I was feeling a little bit apprehensive about the idea that I might see stuff, like my hallucinate, right? And that's always what you might do that, right? Like, if you take enough, that's what's going to happen. So I think that at that point, I'd sort of mellowed out a little bit. While we were sitting outside, Sean asked me, he's like, well, it's been like 90 minutes. Do you want to take a little more? And I said, yeah. So I took like a half a piece of chocolate. And then while we were inside, this was a little while later, I took one more piece. And so I think next time I do it, I'm going to take like the same amount that I took across the morning, just kind of all in one go, because I would like to kind of see where it goes, like where you go from there, because I would say that the experience that I had on Sunday was fairly mellow. Like, it wasn't an intense time. I didn't trip really. I maybe saw a little bit of like wavy lines on the trees, which is a really cool effect, but I definitely didn't see anything that wasn't there. So I took a little bit more of the chocolate, and then once I was done kind of flipping through this cat book, Sean and I decided we're going to walk down. Well, Sean suggested that we go on a big walk down to the river, and he's like, only if you want to, right? Like, he was the best trip sitter that I've ever had. He's the only trip sitter I've ever had. But he was really good about just making sure that my needs were looked after, that, you know, I had an apple or a little bit of food when I started to feel hungry, and just like anticipating my needs. And so I would definitely say, if you're considering this type of experience for yourself, get someone that you love and trust to trip sit for you the first time. And then that way, if things go a little haywire for you, if you end up taking a little too much and start to get a little freaked out, they can be there to kind of help guide you back to neutral, right? So thankfully I didn't need that from Sean this time, but the next time that I try this, I'm definitely, he's going to trip sit for me again, and hopefully I won't actually need him in that way, but it's nice to have a sober friend or loved one there with you, right? So anyway, we packed up our backpack with some waters and walked down to the river. We stopped and got some kombuchas at the little grocery store by our place, and we went down to the river, and it was so cool. Again, I wasn't really, I wouldn't say that I was tripping, but I definitely would say that my focus was heightened. Like, we sat down by the river for a while and just kind of enjoying nature, and then as we were leaving, I stopped and kind of stared at the way the river was sort of flowing in this one spot around a rock. And so I pointed out to Sean, I was like, I can see the lines in the current going around this rock. And so I pointed to him, and he's like, he didn't see it at first, and he's like, oh, Eric is just tripping. But then he saw it, and he's like, oh yeah, I see it too. And that's when I kind of explained to him the whole like Bella Swan analogy. I was like, that's what it feels like. Like, it feels like I just see one cool thing or something catches my attention, and that's the only thing that I can see, and that's the only thing that matters in that moment. So we stood there and just sort of looked at the river for a while, and then it was kind of getting a little late, so we headed back home. There's like the rail trail by our place, and on the way home, we had the most incredible experience, and it was so freaking amazing. So we were, I would say, about halfway home. The sun was kind of starting to come down on the horizon a little bit, and there were certain spots in the path where the sun kind of came through the trees, or it was still above the trees enough that it kind of hit us. And it's a nice warm sun, right? It's spring now, so the sun is warm, and it just feels so good to just stand there in a sunbeam when you can. So we stopped right before, there was a little bit of like a shaded spot on the path that we were going to walk through. And so I noticed that the sun was kind of coming through the trees a little bit. So we stopped and just, I had a hat on, my adventure hat, and I had my sunglasses on, but I just kind of tipped my head up towards the sun and closed my eyes and just let the sun like warm my body. And it just felt so, it's just incredible. Like, that's the only way that I can describe this feeling that I was having. And I felt so connected to the earth and to nature. And it's just something that I haven't experienced in maybe ever, like, or at least a really long time. You know, I lived on Dewdney Avenue in Regina, which is a hella busy street, and there was no trees, no nature, and it was a brick building. And it just, as much as I loved that studio space that I had, we also lived there, and it was a really depressing 3 years in that sense, especially because that's where we spent our COVID lockdown. It just felt, ever since moving out here, I feel definitely that I've been a lot more kind of connected with not only nature, but the change in the seasons, right? Like, I feel like I sort of went into a bit of a hibernation over the winter. And now that spring is here, I'm sort of starting to come out of that and feeling a little bit more energetic and feeling a little bit more myself again. So it's just been interesting kind of paying attention to the change in the seasons in that way. But anyway, so I was standing there, the sun shining down on my face, warming my skin, eyes closed, just kind of drinking in this sunshine. And it felt like my feet were like merging with the earth. This sounds crazy saying it out loud on this podcast, but it felt like my feet were like just melting into the earth, and like I was like growing roots into the ground. It was the coolest feeling ever, and I felt so grounded in that moment. And that's something that I struggle with, is feeling grounded in my body. So being that grounded in that moment was really intense, and I think that that was kind of the peak of my trip there, was this moment, kind of with the sun shining and my feet like growing into the earth. And then so I'd gotten my fill of the sun, so I let out a big sigh and I turned around, and there was Sean right behind me. He was doing the exact same thing, just letting the sun shine on his face. So I looked at him and I smiled, and then I looked past him and I let out a gasp. I went, because right behind him, behind us, we were facing the other way, but when we turned around, there were three deer standing in the path. And I know this because Sean verified this. I wasn't just tripping. The deer were there. But we turned around and just like locked eyes with these deer, and they just stood there and stared at us. And so we stood there and stared back at them. And Sean like waved at the deer and he was like blowing kisses to the deer. It was very cute. And after a little while, the deer decided to kind of go up the hill a little bit. So like they left the path and kind of went up the hill. And so we're like, okay, well, let's keep going. We'll just walk slowly so we don't spook them, and just kind of we didn't verbalize this plan to each other. We sort of this unspoken agreement between the two of us that we'd walk sort of slowly past these deer. So we walked all the way past the deer. They watched us the entire time. And when we got past them, we both blew them a little kiss and just went on our way. And it was just such a magical moment to just turn around after letting the sun hit my face and then turn around and there's three deer standing in the path. It was incredible. Like I would say that was the highlight of my first psilocybin trip. And again, I wouldn't say that I was necessarily tripping by any means, but I definitely felt like everything just felt a little bit brighter. Like I don't know how to describe it. Everything just felt a little bit brighter, a little bit lighter. Like I didn't feel depressed, which I don't feel depressed all the time, but it's been a lifelong struggle for me. I had not zero single sad feelings in my body. I was just having such a good day. And then yeah, just to have those deer there. It was just so fucking cool, you guys. Like, it just blew my mind. It just blew my mind. So we went home. And when we got home, Sean just put on this, like, Blue Planet or Planet Earth or something. It was like a underwater footage, like a documentary. And we just put on some music. And so I just watched these, like, fish and sharks and shit. And it was so cool. And we had some supper, and by that point, the effects had kind of started to subside and wore off. So that evening, I went to bed so early that I was confused myself. I think I went to bed at like 9 or 9:30 that night, and that is a clear 3 to 4 hours earlier than I normally go to bed. Which was weird, but I kind of expected that might happen. I don't know if I talked about this on the microdosing episode or not, but when I was microdosing, I found that my like circadian rhythm sort of reset itself a little bit. So I would go to bed earlier and I'd wake up with the sun, which is not common for me. Like, that's unheard of for me usually. Usually you're lucky to see me out of bed before 9 or 10, if I'm being honest. But I was so tired. I wouldn't say I was like tired, but I was just like, I'd had enough for the day, you know, like I was just tired out enough that I was like, well, I'm sleepy, so I may as well go to sleep and go to bed. And then the next morning I woke up at 7, and I've been waking up between 7 and 8 all week, which is, again, weird. So crazy to me. I'm not used to early mornings, but it's starting to grow on me a little bit, which is also something that's also weird to me, because I have always been a night owl, and it's been so hard for me to wake up in the morning on my own, usually at a reasonable hour. But it's been nice kind of getting up earlier. I feel like I get a little bit more done in my day, in a way. I don't know. It's just been the lasting effects. I would say that the next day I felt really good. There was like a couple of really annoying things that happened on like Monday and Tuesday, and even today as well. But Monday and Tuesday, I really could still feel the effects of the psilocybin in my system. Like, I felt like Sean was getting really kind of just like anxious about something, and normally in those sorts of situations, I am very like sensitive to other people's moods or like their feelings and that kind of thing. The way that they're feeling, I pick up on that really well, and I like internalize it, and then it affects me. But Monday, he was kind of just feeling really anxious, and it didn't affect me at all. I was kind of like, oh, okay. And it, well, the situation affected me, but I was just like, okay, like, whatever, it's fine. So it made me kind of really zen for the next few days. And I would say even into today, this morning we had some annoying news again, and I did kind of get a little bit worked up for a second, but then I was able to kind of quell that. So I would say that it's had a lasting positive effect throughout the week, for me at least. So I think that this weekend I might try again, do a little bit more, and just see where that goes, because I want to use psilocybin as a tool for my mental health. Seeing the effects that it's had on me, like throughout the microdosing that I did last year, I think it was spring of 2022, I did that the first microdosing cycle, and just knowing how that positively affected my life, I think that I want to try doing this a little more often, just to kind of see how it will affect me positively. Another really cool thing that happened, actually, speaking of positive mental effects, Monday and Tuesday, but mostly Monday, I sat down and wrote all day, like all day. And I have been struggling with writing this memoir, because again, like I said last episode, it's been a lot of having to rehash old memories, having to kind of dive back in through old journals and kind of correspondences, just to kind of repaint the picture in my mind of what happened in that 6-year period of my life, because I spent so long kind of stuffing that away and not wanting to deal with it. And I was like, well, I'll deal with this later. Well, now is later, I guess. So I've been having a lot of kind of trouble getting it out of my head and onto paper. You know, I'll start writing and I'll just get like a big block in my brain. And if you're a writer and you know all about that feeling, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're not a writer and you don't know what writer's block feels like, it's kind of just like, it literally feels like a block in your brain. Like, it feels like a cement wall that's slammed down in your brain and the words can't get past it. And that is kind of how I've been feeling for the last couple of weeks, while I've been trying to write more of the memoir, because I only have one chapter done. Obviously, there needs to be more than one chapter. It's a whole story I'm trying to tell here. And so it's just been a matter of trying to get it out on paper, but it's been hard. So on Monday, I sat down and wrote an entire chapter, the rough draft of my next chapter of my memoir. And it ended up being twice as long as the first chapter I wrote, because I was actually, my brain felt clear. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that the cement block that was in my brain had just like dissipated, like it just disappeared into thin air. And suddenly the super highway of the words of from my brain to my fingers to the keyboard to the screen was just supercharged. And I just typed and typed and typed all day. I think I wrote like 4,000 words that on Monday, which is a lot. Like, that's a lot more than I normally would do sitting down in one session. Usually I can only write for about like an hour, maybe hour and a half max before I kind of hit that wall again. But I was able to get it all out on paper, and I told the whole story of the first time that my ex-wife ever came up to visit me. And there's still some stuff missing from there. The chapter's not done by any means, but I got most of it out. So it was really cool to me to see that effect that the psilocybin I had on Sunday did for me as a writer. So that's part of the reason too why I want to kind of experiment with this a little bit moving forward for my own mental health, because my therapist made a really good point the last time I talked to her, and she's like, you're writing this memoir and you're having to go back and go through a lot of things that you've wanted to forget about. So it's going to be hard to do. Like, it's going to be mentally taxing on you. And I just want to make sure that you're ready. And I said, I think I am ready. I think that this memoir is going to finally give me the opportunity to kind of process all of the things that happened. Like I said last episode, I didn't really give myself that time before, and I sort of shoved it all away. So it's got to come out. You can't just keep shoving things away forever, unfortunately. And I'm just really psyched that psilocybin has shown itself to me to be a good tool to sort of work on that a little bit, to have a good effect on my mental health. So now more than ever, I think, while I am going through this process of writing this memoir, I need to have, good supports in place. And yeah, I'm just really excited about that. So if you have been considering doing this for yourself, there are a few things that I would suggest. Number one, for sure, make sure that you have someone who is of sober mind that can sit with you. There is a chance, obviously, that if you take too much, you could have a bad time. And from all of the things that I have heard about tripping or using psilocybin, is that you want to make sure that you're going into it with a positive mindset, right? Like, if you take a bunch of psilocybin and you're just like really in a downward spiral and you're feeling just super depressed and don't like approach it with kind of like an open mind, if you're especially if you're like scared of what might happen, there's a higher chance that you're gonna have a bad time. So you want to have someone there with you who can kind of guide you back to center if you need a hand with that. Definitely recommend a trip sitter. As far as where to get it, there are lots of places online. I'm not going to say specifically where I got mine from because it is not legal yet. I want to say if you Google psilocybin Canada, like there's tons of places online where you can order. And it's very similar to the way the gray market works or used to work with cannabis. The websites might look a little sketchy sometimes, so just use your own discretion. Do your own research on where you should be purchasing this from. If you're out in BC, maybe just check your local markets. There might be someone selling it there. You never know. There are many ways that you can take psilocybin, obviously. There's the microdosing route, which if you're brand new and you kind of are just more focused on maybe some longer term positive effects, you can do like a 3-month microdosing cycle. That's probably where I would recommend starting out if you're really curious. Microdosing doesn't cause you to trip. It kind of just sort of lifts your mood a little bit. After, I would say, about 2 weeks in, you'll start feeling a little bit of effect. With microdosing, you want to do it on like a 1 day on. So you take your microdose 1 day, wait 2 days, and then take another dose and kind of do 1 day on, 2 days off, and flip back and forth. There's some other ways you can do it as well. That's the way that worked for me. So you can do that. You know, you can make tea. You can just eat the mushrooms themselves if you get your hands on some dried ones. There's chocolates, there's tinctures, like it's all sorts of stuff. It's very similar to the cannabis industry in the sense that there's tons of ways that you can take it and take it in a way that you know that you're controlling the dose. I think that's the biggest thing that kind of held me back for the longest time on trying this for myself, is that I just didn't want to take too much and have a bad time. And it kind of, that thought scared me a lot. So definitely would recommend maybe trying like an edible, like a chocolate or a tincture, that you can kind of measure out exactly how much you're taking. The last thing that I would suggest as far as preparing for the first trip that you're going to try, just have some like healthy snacks available. You might want to eat something. You might want to have like an apple or some carrots or something like that. Try to avoid like something like really sugary and that kind of thing. It just, food kind of, when you're, at least this was in my experience, when you're on psilocybin, you kind of want like natural, earthy kind of things in your body, right? You're literally just part of your you have these mushrooms that are in from the earth in you, and it kind of makes you want to eat things that are from the earth. So I would say avoid like, you know, like eating a bunch of like a big bag of Ruffles or something like that. Like, you know, prepare ahead of time, get your snacks ready, make sure you're wearing something very comfortable. I wore my romper all day. I don't like things that have waistbands in them typically, so I tried to avoid that. Being comfortable in your environment is very important as well. If you're in an environment that you're not comfortable with, or that's maybe like a little industrial or something like that, like you want to try to go be as close to nature as you can be. I would suggest going somewhere where you feel safe. Obviously bring your trip sitter with you, but don't do it at like a party or something like that, like where you're gonna be maybe freaked out or overstimulated. You want to be kind of, especially if you're trying to look at this from a mental health or maybe a spiritual perspective, just consider the surroundings that you'll be taking it in, because that is going to have a really positive or negative effect on your trip as well. So you just kind of want to try to set yourself up for success as much as you possibly can before heading off onto your first trip like I did. So I hope that this episode was insightful to some of you who are maybe considering checking out psilocybin for the first time, or maybe you've done it a bunch of times and you're just like sitting here going, girl, you don't even know what you're talking about. And that's fine too. I only have done it once, so I only can speak from my own experiences. But if you give it a try and you love it or you hate it, send me some listener mail, plantsandcatspod@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your experiences, what your first trip was like, whether it was a good one or a bad one. If you send me some listener mail, I might read it on an upcoming episode of the show. So as with every episode, at the end, I always pull a tarot card for my listeners. So as always, take what resonates and leave what doesn't. If this card doesn't speak to you, it just means that this message wasn't for you, babe. So, yeah, I'm going to pull a card from Old Faithful, Wilder Woven Tarot by Greg White. And we shall see what the cards have to say to us today. Ooh. All right. Oh, and jumped right out of there. So, we got the King of Pentacles reversed. All right, so the King of Pentacles is, it's like an elk, I believe it is. Yeah, it's an elk standing kind of in this forest. It looks like it kind of, it's like going up on a mountain. There's like some birch trees or maybe poplar kind of all around him. There's one pentacle kind of in the foreground in front of the elk. And the further you go up the mountain or the hill, the sky kind of gets orangey and red, almost like it's either sunset or on fire. So we had the King of Pentacles reversed. Often our identities become intertwined with what we possess. The illusion can be painful when we begin to lose our treasures and rank. As antlers are shed in the winter, material symbols of status and power are impermanent in their nature. You have intrinsic value that cannot be altered by the acquisition or loss of material things. Look within and find the crown that has always rested upon your head. Oh, what a nice card. So I think for me, I think that saying that we need to kind of just like look inward into our own power and know that we have the power to change. You know, life is impermanent. Things are always changing. And your value is not going to be lost when things around you change. You need to look in and see that crown that has always been on your head. And just remember that you have the power to do whatever you want in this life, much like I have the power to talk about whatever the fuck I want to on my podcast and just put it out in the world and just know that the people that need to hear this are going to hear it and the ones that don't aren't going to listen anyway. So thanks again, everybody, for listening to this episode of Plants and Cats. If you love this podcast and would like to support me as a creator, head over to ko-fi.com/ericabroom or click the link in the show notes to use my tip jar or subscribe monthly and get early access to blog posts and so much more. You can also support me through my print and t-shirt shop on the same platform. For listener mail, or if you or another empowered woman you know would like to be a guest on the show, please email me at plantsandcatspod@gmail.com. Also, please rate and review this podcast and make sure to leave a 5-star review. Until next week, babes. Bye.